take a million out of the tax relief. We've got 2.6.
Okay, and then what about the unappropriated funds?
And that's where, with that kind of being a new process, we feel pretty confident at a million, but I would just, for conservative, 500.
Okay, we're on.
We can nail it down. And then we still have money available. So.
There's a
sit,
you
go
there
and
there. There's.
Okay, so then I'm coming up with between tax, Pawhuska, and unappropriated at 2.2, a total of 2.2.
Yeah, or we can do, I think it'd be easier to say 2 from retained revenue and then do a million from the tax relief fund and just be done with it. And then figure out unappropriated and make that more available.
Okay, and then the discussion we're getting ready to have is, do we fund senior housing and hold on the rest of it? Or do you want to hold on senior housing and fund the rest of it? We're not saying hold forever. We're holding say till we've got something freed up.
Congresswoman Staley, we're...
Hang on just a second. I just want to make sure if anybody's got any idea what they want to do. Okay, go ahead.
You're good. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, I'm going to call the Appropriations Committee meeting to order. Today is April the 13th, and the time is 3:31 p.m. First on the agenda is roll call.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Here.
Second Speaker Shaw.
Present.
Congressman Bickhorst.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Speaker Goodfox.
Present.
Chair Stabler.
Present. We do have a quorum. I've asked Congresswoman Lemon to say our prayer this afternoon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again today asking for you to be with us while we make decisions concerning the dollars and cents of our nation. We ask that you be in our hearts and our minds as we go forward this afternoon. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Next on the agenda is the approval of minutes.
Madam Chair.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Motion to approve the minutes as presented for April 12th, 2023.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Minutes are approved. Thank you all. All right. We have on the agenda today four bills that all have appropriations with them. And they're the same four bills we talked about yesterday. That's senior housing. And I'm sorry, that there's three that have money attached to them. Senior housing, the other bill is the budget impoundment process. Then the tribal ask and the ambulance for Shidler. And we still have four bills on hold in general order day two. So today is to try to confirm exactly how much money we have that's able to be appropriated, and then determine which bills we can cover with that money. And then move forward based on that alone. Some of the things that have happened is that Treasurer has gone back through the tribal ask bill, which is 2356, and he's got some adjustments that can be made to that. So I'd like to push that bill without objection up to the front of the list today. And so that'll bring us to 2356, an act to amend ONCA 2295 to provide appropriation modifications and supplemental appropriations to the executive branch in the amount of $574,520 and to establish an alternate effective date. Tyler, treasurer, we have information from you that reduces this bill a little bit, and if you could give us a rundown of what you were able to accomplish.
Chair, do you want to relinquish since you're the sponsor, or do you want to stay? I don't mind if you do as the chair.
I can relinquish. That'll be fine.
Okay. Tyler?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. So looking at the current legislation, that there's a capital project request, I think $47,500 for a fence in Missouri. Just as we've done with most of the requests that come through, we reviewed the current departmental budget, and there are excess funds that can be utilized by decreasing that departmental budget by that amount in the wage category area due to some unfilled vacancies, and do a budget neutral move to put that $47,500 in the cap asset so that we don't have to tap projected revenue.
Okay.
And then essentially after that, it basically breaks down to emergency management services, be it kind of a new request. Direct assistance, of course, is still a request. Gaming Commission, we worked with Gaming Commission. Their request is $32,737. I think that's to increase their legal fees, but we did review their budget, looked at vacancies, modified their budget to, one, cover the additional auditor they're hiring. In addition to that, we've moved some excess funds out of wages down to cover the professional fees. So we reduced that ask. I think initially it was above 100,000. So that ask is now down to 32,000. Then the Jaji youth budget. That's a new request. So that's a new budget. And I pass it off to the budget analyst on the HUD-VASH because essentially, that gets us down to the 527, taking HUD-VASH out of 2295, leaves the balance at $527,020.
Okay, and I will say when we looked at this a little earlier, it's going to take several amendments to make all this happen. Yes. Because of the adjustments, the modifications have to be brought back here to this body to be modified. And it's going to require several adjustments. So those we'll have to prepare. And we could make those in on the floor if you want to. Otherwise, I'll schedule another meeting and we'll bring them back over here. But it's not something that we can take a 10-minute recess for. Congresswoman Lemon.
So looking at knowing that, how about would you consider doing then a committee substitute?
I think we could.
That would that be the easier way, do you feel?
If that works for council, that'd be fine with me. Mr. Frazier, what do you think?
I'm only aware of one amendment, and it would be inserting a new table for historic preservation, reducing the lines by whatever Treasurer McIntosh says they need to be reduced by. That would be the only amendment that he's proposing.
I thought we had some new budgets that just came in.
He did ask for some tribal money for Butcher House, but we haven't received those yet, have we?
I thought I did.
I think they've been turned in, but yeah, there is an ask coming for the Butcher House, and then also a small ask coming from the Harvest Land, which we did the same thing with their budgets from ARPA to tribal, worked through it all. The initial request came in at around $1 million. We were able to work that down, and I think for Harvest Land it's around $58,700, and I think it's around $375,000 for a request for Butcher House, and that's related to, in essence, if you think about that, that's going to purchase cattle mm-hmm. from the CARES cattle. Mm-hmm. So it's almost, it's turning the dollar over in the tribe, in a sense, on that ask.
Give us a little more explanation on that.
Yeah. But those are currently not in 2295.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I thought I just saw some adjustments that would have to be made, even though they were negative dollars, that they were going to be line item adjustments that you required.
Yes, there is a combination of several budget modification adjustments that are going to take place. And then after that, there's where that is, that additional need.
Okay.
For that request. So okay. Essentially, I would say it was $479, I think, on Butcher House, but I know $58,700 on Harvest Land, so $550 would be the max.
Okay. I guess it's a case of until we get the amendments done or get the modifications done, we don't know. But I think there's still more movement than what we are saying right now.
Yes, there will be those two additional requests, and those are the last two that I know of.
Okay.
And that's just where we did not want to bring down a $1 million request. So we wanted to be sure, and we worked over several days to really get down to the details, because then we're having discussions too about 24, how are we going to operate? And we're starting to have that discussion also mm-hmm. with the program.
Okay.
And they're discussing it too. But yes, those did, I believe, got turned in today. And I can get that number on the Butcher House real fast, but I know Harvest Land's $58,700.
Okay. And it's a new ask?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Are you chairing?
Yeah, I'm just discussing, so.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because I wanted to jump in on the convo. So those that were brought down, I didn't realize they had tribal requests in them. I thought they were just ARPA budget mods.
I did too.
That's what I thought. So now you're saying we have two additional asks from Harvest and the meat processor today?
Yes, it did turn. Yeah, we turned those in today.
And give me the total on each again, just the tribal.
It'd be $58,700. On Harvest Land, and that would be to the capital asset fund.
Okay, so there's a cap asset request from Harvest that would go into the capital asset revolving fund.
Yes, and the initial request was around $597,000, but we were able to modify and work it through the budget modifications to reduce that down to where we really need. Or the ask is $58,700.
How much in the meat processing?
Let me get that exact number. That one.
So one of my questions would be why we couldn't use that balance in the cap asset for the $58,700 if we have a balance in there. I don't know why it was brought. I mean, of course, we would add it in, but you see what I'm saying? I don't know why there would be a tribal request if we have a balance in that revolving fund.
I think it was kind of predicated off not knowing if those funds would potentially be used for some of this other
okay. stuff. So we're just actually adding it to our pile of requests.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a great recommend. That's the preferable way to do it is utilize
but if we
the
can,
dollars.
But if we can pull it out of existing appropriated funds, then that still frees up funds that are sitting there that we need for some other projects.
Okay. So what's the amount for the meat processing?
just remember it being around 375, but let me get the exact number.
Okay.
Because that's kind of where I left it.
Okay.
They were finalizing a few little details on it. So.
Okay, so we're going to add those two requests to your bill, or at least start talking about them, because back to that, what I'd like to do is go through your bill and address these folks that had already made their requests, like financial assistance, to POSCA, anybody that's already filed or been included in their request, and start going back to what we discussed yesterday, which was to prioritize.
Right.
Not that they're not all important, but we definitely have some things that have to be prioritized.
I think that that's, Chair, that's the point I'm trying to make, too, is we know all of these requests are important. We know that everybody's got specific need that they need to try to fulfill, but we don't have enough money to fulfill all of them. So if we will prioritize, I just wanted to make sure that everybody understands that we will come back. As money opens up, we're willing to come back and just start going down the list to get everything taken care of. But anytime we can find a few dollars in an existing budget, I'm absolutely for that. So to go through, no, I was just going to say, if we're going to go through the bill, it's $23.56, I think. Go ahead, Tyler.
And I was going to say, on that part of that harvest land, the project that's coming out of ARPA, we're going to explore, because some of that's putting solar panels into work, the solar panels that were bought, but it's to put the solar panels actually into production, get them hooked up. Okay. With that, I'm going to seek, under the infrastructure bill, there's a tax credit avenue in which, if you introduce and you're doing constructing and green energy, so if we're putting in solar panels, I'm going to explore if we can get basically not tax credits, but to tribe, and since we don't have tax credits, it would be a straight cash back to us to reimburse us, not really reimburse us, but it's incentive money to put in green energy that we may qualify for. So I'm exploring that. So to determine if we would qualify, if we do qualify, I'm going to seek those funds for reimbursement after that job is being constructed. Okay. But I still have to get a few more details in that area.
So you really don't know yet if we even qualify?
Right, but I will get that answer. I'm reaching out to the individual that the conference I went to, and it was kind of eye-opening, and I thought we can do that in a couple of areas and potentially to look down the road and take advantage of this in other areas also. Potentially, we have high, utility electric costs somewhere.
Okay.
Maybe pertinent to invest in more solar panels somewhere and then get this incentive money back.
You say solar panels, you're talking about the grow lights?
The solar panels would power the grow lights.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's all bundled together?
It's kind of all, but we broke it out in three different. I think there's one for the solar panel installation in the narrative. There's one for the grow lights, and I think the installation of the grow lights.
Okay.
And that's where we're starting to show. For the installation, we created a GL account called Professional Fees Capital, because historically all the professional fees, architect types work that went into putting those assets into place, we're hitting up in the normal professional fees line. But if we capitalize them, we're not going to charge IDC on them. We got to carve that down to the construction, because when we actually do the gap, capitalize that project, we pick up that cost. So that'll be a new GL account, and that's why you'll see capital professional fees under construction or down in those areas.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's go through the bill, starting with the capital asset. We've agreed that the 47.5 will address through the historic pres budget. That'll take action. Then we have the census project, which, as I understand, is a budget mod.
Yes.
Okay. And the Tapusca Onkodapi, is that a request or a budget mod?
It's budget mod.
Okay. And then the election office is also a budget mod.
Budget mod.
Okay. And then emergency management is a new request.
Yes. Yes.
Or 12,064?
Yes.
Okay. And the financial assistance, what we're seeing is, what was the total ask for that, the increase?
$475,000 is what I had.
Okay. So we have Secretary Bledsoe and Director Campbell on the line to maybe talk about that request a little bit. So, Director Campbell, do you want to speak to the request? Looks like this is out of the crisis program.
Yes, ma'am. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah, so we're seeking a tribal appropriation to continue the crisis program and financial assistance. We're asking for an additional appropriation to get us through the rest of this fiscal year. Back in December 15th, we revised the policy, and some of those revisions increased the amount of assistance that Osages could receive. It also enabled them to apply more than once in a fiscal year. And so that increased the number of applications drastically, tremendously, as well as the expenditures. And so what we have here is a proposed budget that I drafted in February. So it's already outdated. And we're watching the trends, we're watching expenditures, we're watching the number of applications. And this is just a new program. It's a demonstration at this policy level here. This year is a demonstration program. But we've seen a need, you know, with Osages, as other federal programs closed, like emergency rental assistance or water programs that were nationwide that helped with utilities. And a lot of those federally funded programs under ARPA were closing. We continue to see the need with Osages. They continue to struggle and reach out to us and ask for assistance. And so we had this discussion back in December on how we could try to meet those needs. And the crisis program is a unique policy. It provides the assistance to Osages regardless of their residence. So this is a program that's open to Osages everywhere across the country. And we've seen applicants in almost every state, definitely the Midwestern region and the West to the West Coast. There are a few even in Hawaii and Alaska, but they're reaching out to us. And the number one component that we see is assistance to avoid homelessness. So Osages are either experiencing a threat of homelessness or they already are homeless and they're needing shelter, you know. And so the program policy is designed to provide assistance when there are no other resources available or their resources are exhausted, you know. And so this program has been here for quite a few years back to the Gray administration, but it has certainly emerged into something bigger, and especially after this pandemic, or if you will, the continuance of the pandemic, you know, Osages are still having the financial struggle. And so the policy allows assistance to just meet those essential needs, shelter, you know, a roof over your head to make sure you can stay in your home or get a home, obtain another home if you've been evicted or foreclosed on. And then it also provides utility assistance to make sure that they have the essential utilities in their household. It also provides for car repair. So we see that Osages are some that are those that are still working, but they're struggling to make ends meet. They come up with unexpected major car repairs. So the program doesn't provide for routine maintenance or, you know, some of those things that you can plan for. It helps provide assistance when larger components are wrong, your transmission, your motor, alternator, batteries, and so it helps those Osages get those repairs that are necessary for their mode of transportation. It also provides assistance to Osages that have lost their home or severe damage to their home from a natural disaster or a fire. We have provided assistance to those that have lost their home to fires recently. On the West Coast, they had unusual weather and snow, lost power, and so we were able to help in those areas. And then down along the coast, when they experienced hurricanes, they contacted the nation and needed assistance, and we were able to help there with this program. Another component is family emergencies. So we have rare cases, you know, where Osages are hospitalized, and this creates a hardship, you know, on their family or their spouse, you know, their children, to come and see them, or they're at the end of their life and they're in hospice care, emergencies. We've had young infants just born into the world and needed to stay in the hospital longer, and it's caused a financial struggle for those parents, as well as some funerals. You know, we've had some Osages utilize this program trying to make it back to the reservation, you know, for a family death, something like that. But the number one component that we see here is to prevent homelessness and the threat of homelessness. And then the second is the major car repair. And the third is to avoid unsanitary or unsafe situations in their home. So that might be where we provided help with plumbers, electricians, or help them keep their utilities on. So when this program opened, we made a public announcement and we distributed that in social media outlets, and there was a huge response. A lot of members were confused and thought this was $2,000 cash in hand. So I just want to go on the record and say that it's not cash in hand. We provide the assistance directly to those vendors, you know, to pay their rent or to pay their mortgage or the utilities or a repair shop mechanic of that nature. There's only been a few rare instances where we helped with cash, and that's because we couldn't, they didn't have a home. It was gone to a fire or hurricane, natural disaster, something like that. And so that helped that Osage at least get temporary shelter or something along that line. The number of applications, of course, has more than tripled. You know, last year this program received $200,000 in assistance, and we was able to help 283 Osages. And that was in a 12-month period. Right now, to date, we've processed over 1,500 applications. And a majority of that has happened after December 15th, of course. And we have spent all of the money that has been appropriated. As of today, we know how we don't have any funds available for crisis assistance. So we are depending on an appropriation here. We have several pending applications still that we can't move or approve because we're out of funding. The most recent expenditure report that I was looking at March, the full month of March, and just in the month of March, we spent $163,000 in crisis assistance. And that was several states. Osage is applying from several states there. So, you know, I like to watch data. I like to compare it to previous years. And this is just one of those programs that we don't have the historical data on at this capacity. And to project that going forward is very difficult. You know, I'm unable to project when possibly 25,000 Osages could experience a crisis. But I want the committee here and those listening to know that we do look over these applications. We do make contact with these applicants. We do some research to see if there are available resources elsewhere. To be good stewards of the funding. You know, it's just it's a great need, but it is underfunded. You know, we look to continue the program. Also in this request is are two positions. So when these will be new positions that we're asking for to help us process the applications and payments. Primarily the financial assistance team, most of them are funded with federal funds. And so they're supposed to be working on federal grants. And they are doing that, their regular job. In addition, this program processing applications and communicating and researching and outreach to other programs, any referrals that we can possibly make. But we need some additional help. We need help so that we stay on top of our game and all programs to include this one. So do you all have any questions?
Yes, thank you, Andrea. Our Director Kimball, Congresswoman Lemon has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good afternoon. I'm Director Kimball. Thank you for being with us here today.
Yes, ma'am.
So I think for the purpose of understanding the request more clearly that we're talking about today is that, and the reason there's not any historical data is because of the benefit or the crisis dollar amount has increased from 1,000 to 2,000. Correct, Ms. Kimball?
Yes, that's correct.
And this occurred in December of 2022 based off of a need?
Yes.
And so it was basically a policy change. So when we legislated back in October, this wasn't something that was forecasted.
Well, we did back in the fall session, we did ask for a greater amount than we had the previous fiscal years. We did foresee that there would be a need, you know, a spike in applications. We just didn't know it would be to this magnitude. You know, the need is definitely greater than we thought even in October.
And yeah, I think that thank you very much for that. I think with your explanation also to the fact that several governmental benefits that were allowable during the pandemic, you know, and post-pandemic era have now closed and those funds are no longer available to the individuals, and utilizing our crisis dollars for kind of like a payer of last resort after all those other resources have been utilized. I'm really happy to hear that, you know, like last year, the number one assistance that you see and that is requested is to prevent homelessness. And so that's good to hear. But you did mention travel and back to the reservation in the event of like an so the policy, I was in reading it, I don't have it verbatim, but I mean, I've read over it with the changes, is that emergency health?
It's for displacement, like medical or for minor displacement.
Yeah.
And then medical situations and then funeral.
And death. And so that's new to that was one of the changes that was made to your policy.
Yes, that is one. Yeah, it was an additional component that we added in. I specifically asked for the assistance for displacement of minors because we have had Osage children, for whatever reason, removed from their home. And not all cases were court related. Some of them lost their parents to death, and they had to be removed from their home and start over again in another home. And so they would contact the program and ask for assistance to get them a bed or some kind of clothing. And of course, these are minor children. And so we wanted to be able to provide that assistance to them in conjunction, you know, with other social work programs and things like that. And so I did ask for that family emergency component there. The discussion revealed other requests from Osages to come back to the reservation for funerals of an immediate family member, or to help with to get to their Osage family member in a hospitalization scenario. Yes, that's a new component.
Okay, may I continue?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. So you also mentioned, I have several questions about that still, but I want to go back to something. You also mentioned, two more positions needed with the influx of the increase in applications. And therefore, so when you mentioned travel, I mean, my mind goes all kinds of places. And so, you know, will you be booking flights or bus fare, or how do you foresee that working with the two new people that you're going to, you know, with your request here? I'm just trying to understand what that looks like.
Well, to date, we haven't had anybody request any kind of help with airfare or that type of travel. We have provided assistance to one family to return to their home that came for a family funeral. And then we have provided assistance to minors. So to answer your question, we haven't had to hurdle that yet. I would not suggest to create air flights through our procurement office and accounting or something like that. In most cases, we have, the Osage has been able to tell us, because it's such an urgent need, that they will handle that expense on their own. And then we ask them, okay, if you handle that expense of your own and it creates a struggle to pay your rent or your mortgage, you know, this program can help with that. And so in the very few cases, that has worked.
Okay. All right. So that makes sense in that aspect of it. I probably have some more questions, but I'll yield at this time. Thank you, Director Kimball.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question, Treasurer McIntosh, since this policy is a 2-day turnaround because it's a crisis, and it's been that way since inception, I believe, that, you know, you have 2 days to do certain things. You know, the applicant has to be notified, then the director has to approve. This program runs completely different than any program under the nation because it's a crisis, so it's a 2-day. I'm curious, with the increase in applications at financial assistance, how's it affected your department? Are you going to be requesting additional folks on your end as well?
Historically, we'd work, I think, with upon me arriving in accounts payable, I believe there was two FTEs for that position. Currently, in our current budget this year, we're staffed at 4. So I think we're maintaining, and I think that continuing to work on our processes will help make us more efficient. We did implement on the school assistance. We've implemented a process just this last quarter where that's all electronic. The program built out an application online. We worked with the program, we get a data file, we download it, we set up our vendors, we issue the payments off that file, and I think we have a 1-week turnaround of when the application comes in and comes out. So when I say improve processes, that's kind of where I would go. But as far as right now, I think that we're staffed accordingly in AP.
Okay. Anyone else on the committee have any questions? Okay, so we're seeing the total asset of $527,000, which include two positions to get you through the end of the fiscal year. So they're budgeted at certain months, I think at 5 months, plus the direct assistance request of $425,534. So if there's not any more questions, we'll move on. Thank you, Ms. Kimball, for the discussion.
Thank you.
The next section is the Gaming Commission. As we know, this came about from us ensuring that the Gaming Commission had adequate staffing or professional fees needed to address their regulation responsibilities. And so is this coming down with a tribal request or just a budget mod or both?
It's both the budget mod, and after reviewing the vacancies, we were able to push some of that money down to professional fees. And then once we brought that down, we feel it, working with the Gaming Commissioner, there still is that need for that $37,000, I think $20 is what we determined. Now, I would say that next year's budget will probably increase because of this, but we were able to work it in this current year's budget due to the vacancies. But the expectation is in 24, their budget will come in higher than what their total budget is right now in 23.
Okay, understood. Thank you. The next section is the tax commission, and this is a budget mod. Okay. That was the tax commission. And then treasury, is that a budget mod?
Yes, both those are budget mods.
Okay. And then finally, we have the Wajaji Youth Council, which is a new request for $50,000, and I believe this is so the kids can attend the Unity. Is that correct? Congressman Hamilton, would you want to speak more to that?
Yes, it's a new request, and it's the Tribal Youth Council. I believe the line item was taken out a few years ago and never been put back in, and they've been operating solely on grant funds, federal dollars. So this is to help get them to the Unity Conference coming up in July.
Okay. Okay. So I do want to make note in all these appropriations that with the deadlines as such, we have the Unity or the Wajaji Youth Council. We have the Kahika Stay Club. That's a function in July, and the ADA, the pool, which is July. Is that right, Congresswoman Shaw?
Chair, I believe they open the pool before then, which they cannot open the pool without that. So I think it's closer to June.
Okay. First. All right. Any other questions from the committee regarding this bill? Okay, so we are going to, did you say, Congresswoman Stabler, we're going to come back and have another appropriations meeting?
No, I said only if necessary.
Okay.
And so, but we need to, that's when I believed there were still some actions that we had to take in some other amendments. And everybody's saying we don't need them now.
Okay, so is the amendment prepared and ready?
No, because I didn't know what they were going to be.
Okay.
So if we are just down to one amendment, what is that amendment?
The historic press,
and that's it.
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
I wasn't aware that we'd received the, I don't know if it's Butcher House or Harvest Land, but there's that one as well.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so there'd be three inserts into this bill. Okay. Is there a reason why, if we're here till 6:30, that we couldn't get that done today?
No, I think if there's just one to three, then we could get it done today.
That is all I'm aware of. Those are the
okay.
Last.
So yes, Chair, I believe that we could get those done.
And then that way we can see, go back and get our total number again, because I don't think, even with all this discussion, do we have money to cover all of our tribal appropriations?
No. Well, this is a part of the next discussion. We have seven bills that have money attached to them. And so what's the general priority of the committee to try to fund now based on the numbers that we've been given so far? And we could run down those if you want to right now before we go to the amendments.
I think that we should, under this particular bill, since it's a tribal bill, since we don't have any other discussion on our agenda besides the other bills.
Yeah.
I'm not tracking, I apologize. So we're gonna keep going, or are we gonna recess for the amendments, come back to the amendments, and then look what that amount looks like with the amendments in it? Is that where we're at this point?
That's fine.
We're talking about right
now. Whatever you all want to do.
Motion to recess for 15 minutes.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Okay.